There are no warlike people, just warlike leaders. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you a comment by Ralph Bunch saying, "There are no warlike people, just warlike leaders." Think about it. The peoples of the world like peace. They don't care whether they have larger lands or smaller lands or whether they have whatever. They just like to have their home, their own little farm, their own little country, their own little area, and they're very happy with it. The United States has come across the idea that it does not want to expand. It wants to take care of its own. I mean, because theoretically, if Canada and Mexico were part of the United States, and all of the rules that were operating in the United States were working in Canada and Mexico, it would be quite wonderful, quite marvelous. But Canada wants its own independence, which is certainly understandable, and Mexico wants its independence, which is understandable. But Canada, yes, I can understand that. The cultures are quite similar. Mexico, the people want to be here. They all want to come up north. They all want to come and earn enough money so they can treat their families to a little more harmonious living circumstances and stuff like that. But the government in Mexico does not want that. They say they want it, but they, with all the wealth they have down there, and they have great wealth, they don't spread it around. They don't put it into highways. They don't put it into hospitals. They don't put it into utilities and plumbing and things for the people that benefit them, you know. But now we're not trying to judge them. We're just saying that that's the government that these people chose to live in. But 30,000 people a day are coming across the Mexican border from Mexico into the United States. And that's all the way from Texas through California. And that's a long, long border. And of those 30,000 Mexicans, most of them get through. Just a small minority are picked up by the Border Patrol and put back across the border, and then they come again. And again, a small minority go back. But the thing is, there are no warlike peoples. The people do not want to hurt themselves. But think about this. If you are the chief of police, you will tell people in your staff what to do. And you will say to them that they must carry guns, and they must carry nightsticks, and they must carry weapons to protect themselves and also to stop activities like riots and stuff like that. But the police chief's not out there. He's sitting back in his office making decisions, which is what his job is. He is, what would you call it, a leader? He is a leader. When the President of the United States says, go and clean up Iraq, you know, and stop that mess that's going on over there, he's not over there fighting himself. His life is not on the line. But the people's lives are on the line. The American men and women who are in the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the various services, they have their life on the line. They carry the guns. They are the ones who get shot back at. They wear the bulletproof vests sometimes, you know. And they've developed a new bulletproof vest, which just gives you a little, you know, and it doesn't let it hurt you, which is quite nice. But, of course, they forget about the neck and the head and the other areas that are out in the open. But so forth. There are no warlike people. The people of the world are peace-loving people. And when the peace-loving people have control of a country, the country is a peace-loving country. Peace-loving people are not a practical people to have in a society, because the peace-loving people are not out after being entrepreneurs. They're not out after making a buck. They're not out after creating big businesses and big industries. They're not out after doing all the things that they enjoy, but they don't care who does it. They don't want to do it. It takes the warlike leaders to do this. It takes the leaders who are interested in going and doing it. Now, Bill Gates is not a warlike leader. Bill Gates is sort of a man out of focus there. He is really a peace-loving person. But his business has taken on dimensions and so forth, and he's given it over to his lawyers and to his advisors because, I mean, the richest man in the world is no way he can handle all the areas that his money covers. So he's taken it and turned it over to other people. He wants to live in his peaceful home. Bill Gates would love to have anonymity. He would love to walk down the street and have nobody notice him. Or just say, "Hi, Bill, how you doing? You know, have a cup of coffee, you know." But, "Oh, you're Bill Gates. Can you loan me some, give me some money? You know, you're the richest man in the world." You know, if he could be unknown, if he could be invisible, he would love that. But the thing is, he still goes on being creative. Now, he has a game that he's playing. His game might be soccer or tennis or football, but his game is software. And he's constantly thinking of new ways, like a chess play here, new ways to move his chessmen in more effective ways on the computer board. And he's doing an excellent job. Now, he is taken away from his creativity, much like Mark is taken away from his creativity. Mark has to spend his time in making sure there's money and making the ultralight airplane so that he has a little income coming in. And then, but to work on what he really wants to work on. What he really wants to work on is developing these engines. And these engines are just really fantastic. But he has to pretend he's a warlike leader now and then so that he can have the ability to be no warlike leader, working on his engines and things like that. Now, would you call Edison a warlike leader? Would you call any of the great inventors warlike leaders? The Nobel Prize, why was that given out? The man invented dynamite. He invented the use of dynamite, and he invented the use of these terrible weapons, so to speak, and he felt bad about it. And so he took a great amount of his money and invested it into people who were doing beneficial things for the world and giving them money to continue with their project. Now, that's a very noble thing. But there are no warlike peoples, because the majority of the people of the world are healthy. Majority of the people of the world are happy. Majority of the people of the world live in a modicum of comfort. Now, think about it. In Africa, in what we call the third world country, they don't have a lot of things. Where we went, they had a lot of things, but they don't have a lot of things, the people who live in poverty. And yet, the kids are perfectly happy. They're running around doing as kids will do everywhere, playing in the muddy, filthy ponds and rivers and stuff like that. And they're dying and they're living. And the parents are seeking to get money to buy food and take care of their family, but they don't stop having kids, they just keep having more kids, and that means they have to get more food. But that's all part of their game. They're not a warlike people. They're not evil people. We talked to the people from the Freedom Ranch here. They're quite interesting. And one young fellow said, "Oh, his wife is giving him a special pie." And I said, "Do you get a piece of it too?" He said, "Oh, we all get a piece of it." I said, "You all get a piece of it." He said, "Oh, yes, here at the Freedom Lights, we have learned to share. I mean, I have never experienced people sharing as much as they do here. Whatever they have coming in, whatever is in their world, they share with the rest of us." And he says, "What a wonderful thing." Well, now, stop and think. This is what the primitive peoples do. They all share. They share with one another. They live in an ideal society, if you will, because it's a loving society, a caring society. And many of the mothers have to do certain chores, and so they have aunts or sisters or whatever they call them, come in and take care of their kids while they're working in the field. And this is just normal. Gertrude's son married a girl from the Cameroon, and she had several children before she got married, and the children were 15, 16 years old, and they were being raised by the other members of the family. And there's no thought about whose kid you are. That's your mother, but we're all raising you. We're all taking care of you. And those kids are harmonious and happy. They don't feel deprived. They didn't have anything in the Cameroon, basically. They had limited things. But when they came to Switzerland, my goodness, here they had the beautiful house and the beautiful school and the beautiful clothes. And for the soccer games and the football games, they wore clothes. They didn't just run out there naked playing out in the field, you know. But here they had uniforms and they had all these beautiful things. And they didn't want that. They didn't know any different. When they were back in the Cameroon, they were living in paradise. The weather was hot, and you just didn't wear clothes. And the people were wonderful, and they took care of each other. And they had rules, and you had to obey the rules. But they have rules anywhere. So you see, there are no warlike peoples. The warlike peoples don't exist, but they're put into the army. They're put into the service, and then the warlike leaders direct them in what to do. So I say, today would be a good time for us to start thinking, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And all the people of the earth, and I would like to have this happen, I would just love to have this happen, for a war to be held and nobody to come. They held a war and nobody came to fight. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I mean, because, of course, they would say it's mutiny and they would say it's, you know, going against the rules and authority. But when a nation is protecting itself, that's beautiful. When a nation is out trying to take other nations and bring them into their nation, That's not cool. But if every nation had harmony in the nation, because the people were not a warlike people, nobody'd have to go out and take from other nations. Standing just the way it is now, just the way it is now, when East Germany rejoined West Germany wasn't happy about it. East Germany wasn't happy about it. East Germany had its own way of looking at things for many, many years. And West Germany had many years of freedom and many years of abundance. And now West Germany was a nation unto itself. But what did they do? They wanted to align with East Germany, with West Germany. And by wanting to align, they lost all their creativity and all their individuality and all their ability to be great on their own. And if they were great on their own, wow, what a glorious picture that would be. Because all the people in East Germany, all the people, are human beings. I mean, you may not have thought of that. But they're all human beings. And as human beings, they are joyful, resourceful, happy, loving, beautiful people. And because they're that kind of people, they're normal human beings like anywhere else, and they would make as much money in as small a time as West Germany had done, as all the others. You see, West Germany was a blessed country, and Japan was a blessed country. Here they had been the Axis against the Allies, and when the country was set free to go back to its normal activity, they were commanded not to form an army. And so all the money that nations spend, which is quite a bit, on creating an army for the warlike peoples, they could not do. And so all that money went right into industry and business and developing the country. And so naturally, Germany became a wonderful country. And Japan became a wonderful country. Both countries are outstanding. Well, now, that's what all of us should be. All of us should be denied making instruments of war. All of us should be, all countries should be denied anything to do with manipulation or control over other people in warlike ways. And if that were true, all the countries of the world would be experiencing what Japan and Germany had done. When Germany was left to its own before it was conquered in the war, it was a poor country. It was a very poor country. The people didn't have much. Before the war, they didn't have much. They were living in poverty in many ways. But as soon as the war was over and there was no longer a draw upon the resources of the country for war efforts, the country just blossomed. And the same with Japan. Japan, the people gave everything to the war effort for years and years and years and years and years. And then when they were free of that, the country blossomed. There are no warlike people. There are only warlike leaders. And we create those leaders too. We empower those leaders. And fortunately, the Bill of the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights and so forth limits what our leaders can do. They still can do far more than perhaps we'd want them to do, going around the world and making sure that human rights are observed. That's a lovely thing. But to create a war, to manipulate that, that's something to think about. Okay. There are no warlike peoples, just warlike leaders. Are you a leader or are you a people? I love you, I love you, I love you.